The Gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 50-58. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, if you have your Bible open, please keep it open. If you don't have the text open, I would encourage you to do so, whether that's on your phone or using one of the Bibles in the pew back there. If you're using one of those, just be aware that what we just read and what I'm going to be reading from is a different translation than what you have in the pew back, but that's okay. It was just a different group of scholars getting together, and they chose different English words for the Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek of the New Testament. And so while the reading is different, the meaning is still the same, and that's the assurance we have in the text of Scripture. So we're in 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. And as Matt mentioned, last week we celebrated Easter together. It was a great time just to come together as a church family. We had visitors here, and we celebrated the risen Lord. And I just want to echo what Matt really said, is that's what we do 52 weeks out of the year, is we come together on Sundays to celebrate Jesus walking out of that tomb, defeating sin and death. Now, with that kind of in mind, I want to give you a little bit of insight into kind of church leadership life. Easter is what we kind of call a transition point in the church calendar. So when we as leaders kind of sit down and we're discussing things like new sermon series or maybe new missional community groups to launch or new classes to launch, we look at these natural starting points in the calendar. When are good places to kind of launch forward in this new phase of church life? And so some obvious ones are things like January, right? The beginning of the year, everyone has that New Year's resolution that we all don't have 2 weeks later. And so we launch there in January. Or the beginning of summer is also really, really good. The beginning of fall, especially right around the time school starts, because a lot of us operate on really the school calendar. And then there's the week after Easter, right? We kind of close out what we're doing with the whole big Easter celebration coming together. And then today, the week after, we launch into something new. And so that's what we're doing this time. See, we're launching into a new sermon series that we're calling Life Tools. Life Tools. And so what we read here in 1 Corinthians 15, what Paul writes to us, I think kind of perfectly bridges the gap between what we celebrated last week, Easter, and what we really want to see God do through this new series in our church. And so we're going to kind of walk through this text together, and we're going to look and see what God has for us today in His Word. And so if you're in the Bible there, just look over at verse 50. Here's Paul writing. This is the end of his letter, and Paul's writing to this church here in Corinth. It's not the first letter he's written or the only letter, but this church was messed up. They needed some help. And so a lot of 1 Corinthians is really Paul rebuking them, telling them to get their act together. But look at what he says in verse 50. He says, I tell you this, brothers. Some translations will say brothers and sisters. That's there in the Greek. But he says, I tell you this, brothers. See, after he's come through the entire letter, and he's kind of been rebuking them and training them and teaching them, he reminds them of how much they mean to him. They're not just people that he'd known for 18 months while he lived in Corinth planting the church, but they are his brothers and his sisters in Christ. He cares for them. He loves them. And he wants them to really understand something. He wants them to see the intensity with the way he concludes his letter. And so he says, I tell you this, brothers, and then he gives us this truth here. He says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. See, Paul's letting the Corinthians know that God has designed something much greater to take place in Christ. And he uses this term here, the kingdom of God. And this is what we call in kind of the study of scriptures, the already not yet. The kingdom of God is here, but it hasn't been fully realized. And so Paul is talking about the future kingdom of God. And he says that that is something so amazing, but our bodies cannot inherit it. Flesh and blood, what we are currently residing in, cannot inherit it. See, earlier on in 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us a list of vices that ultimately says these vices will exclude you from the inheritance in the kingdom. And now Paul is saying, okay, not only are there these vices that through Jesus Christ you overcome, he says there's this obstacle that everyone has to overcome. It's your body, it's your flesh, your blood. It's something that's going to keep you from this inheritance. So then in verse 51, he says this word, behold. And really, in that Greek, kind of the meaning would be, hey, listen up. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. He says, there's this mystery. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep. And Paul there isn't talking about, you know, like what we do at night when we go home and after the day is over and you lay down and you have that feeling of relief because the work day's finished. No, Paul's talking about death. See, we see something really interesting in Scripture. When the writers of the New Testament are talking about the death of believers, they often just call it sleep. And so Paul says, we're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die. He says, but some will be changed for the inheritance of the kingdom. Now, I want you to see that Paul here was not promising the Corinthians that they weren't going to see death. Because they did. They're not alive anymore. But he's talking about believers in a larger sense. There are some believers, either maybe here today, maybe in the future, that will not experience death, but instead they will be changed. They will be alive on this earth when Jesus returns. And so when Paul was writing this, many of the Corinthians might have had this question. Hold up, Paul, what you're saying is that we might not die before Jesus returns. But then how am I to be resurrected if I have not died? Paul goes, okay. Here's the answer. In verse 52, he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. In an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those two phrases are found nowhere else in the Old Testament. Nowhere else are they used in the New Testament, I'm sorry. But what we see with them is that they are consistent with what the Old Testament teaches, and that's that God can have sudden intervention to judge and save. In a moment, you will be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, you will be changed. And then Paul writes that all of this will occur at the sounding of the trumpet. Right, the trumpet is a sign of the day of the Lord when Jesus will return to his earth. We see this all throughout the book of Revelation. We have the seven trumpets. the seven seals, and each time a seal is opened and a trumpet's played, something happens. Judgment comes upon the earth, and at the last one, Jesus comes, riding on a white horse. The trumpet is a sign of the return of Christ. And Paul writes, when the trumpet is sound, in other words, when Christ is coming back, the dead will be raised, and we will all be changed. In his letter to the church in Thessalonica, Paul kind of expands on this a little bit. He says that we will be called up to meet him in the air, and then instantly we will be transformed. The flesh and blood that can no longer inherit the kingdom because it has been marred by sin and death will be transformed into this glorified, resurrected body. The same glorified, resurrected body that Jesus experienced when he walked out of the tomb. He was the first resurrection. And we will experience our resurrection at his return. See, one author writes this. He says, without passing through death, they will receive heavenly, spiritual, imperishable bodies. And then Pastor Paul here uses this great metaphor to illustrate this change. Paul uses this great metaphor. Look at what he says. He says, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. See, Paul uses words there in the Greek that illustrate this idea of putting on clothes. Putting on clothes. And Paul says that the perishable must put on the imperishable. My daughter is 5 years old, Ainsley. And what that means for me is she changes her outfit like 4 times a day. Especially on days she doesn't have school. And so she'll come downstairs in the morning and she'll have one dress on. And then at some point she'll decide, okay, this dress is no longer in style anymore. It's not working for me. And so she'll go upstairs and she'll come down and she's put on new clothes. Right? I go to the gym and I work out and I get sweaty and I don't come home and go, okay, these are my clothes for the rest of the day. No, I take those off and I put on fresh clothes so I can go to the store and people aren't going, this guy smells real bad. And Paul here is saying the perishable must put on the imperishable. We must put on these new clothes that can inherit the kingdom. New clothes given to us by Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. It's amazing. As I read this and as I study this week, to think that in a time when we're trying to prolong life, when we look for ways to fight this off the effect of aging, you just have to watch some infomercials or see ads pop up on your computer and it's like, buy this product and reverse wrinkles or take these pills and you'll live a longer, fuller life, that Paul is writing us here to remind us that no matter what you do, your life is mortal. Your bodies are mortal, and they are not built for the kingdom. They are not built for our inheritance. But we're not just left out there to worry about, well, then what does that mean for me? Jesus Christ has come. He has died the death we deserved. He has been risen to the resurrection we will be risen to one day. And it's through that that we're able to put on the imperishable. And then Paul says that when this happens, when this transformation occurs, then that long-awaited promise of death's final defeat will come. That long-awaited promise, that urging inside all of us when we watch the news and we see horrible things, when we wake up on Easter and we see that millions or hundreds of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Sri Lanka have been killed because of their faith, and we say, Lord, come quickly. Paul says, finally, death will be defeated. Look at what he says at the end of verse 54. He says, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. In verse 55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now, Paul was a smart guy. He had I would venture to guess, most, if not all, of the Old Testament memorized. And so he pulls two quotes here from a couple Old Testament books. And the first comes from Isaiah. Isaiah 25, verse 8. Isaiah writes that God will swallow up death forever. What a great metaphor that is. God just isn't going to defeat death. God's going to swallow it up. He's going to consume death. He's going to overpower death. And then the second comes from Hosea. And what Paul does is he pulls these two Old Testament quotes from two Old Testament books, and he puts them together, and it becomes a taunt. Becomes a taunt there to death. Paul says, death, you're swallowed up in victory. He says, oh, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? One author wrote this. He says, from the perspective of Christ's resurrection, by turning it into a taunt, the rhetorical questions now sneer defiantly at death's impotence before the power and the mercy of God, who wills to forgive sins and to raise the dead. Friends, Paul says, death will not affect us. Now, that doesn't mean we won't taste death. That doesn't mean that we won't be saddened by death. But ultimately, for believers in Jesus Christ, death happens. But we have eternal life given to us through Jesus Christ. And so while we might die physically, we will live eternally. And one day, we will live worry-free from the physical deterioration of our bodies. We will live worry-free from the sinfulness that has bound us because of what Jesus did on a Sunday morning. Paul writes in 2 Timothy that Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That is what we celebrated last week. That is what we celebrate every Sunday when we gather together on the Lord's Day. It's the reason why the day of worship moved from Saturday, the Sabbath, to Sunday, because Jesus was risen on the first day of the week. And because of his death, because of his resurrection, we are given life and immortality. Not physical immortality, but spiritual immortality. Because of Jesus' death, we no longer fear death. Because of Jesus' death, death has lost its power. He has lost its sting. See, Paul says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. And then in verse 57, he gives us a but there. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's what it is. Verse 58, therefore. Now, when you're reading Scripture and you come to the word therefore, you should always ask one question. What is it there for? So he says, therefore, in light of everything I have just written to you, here is the result of that. Therefore, my beloved brothers, see the love Paul has for just not only the church there in Corinth, but the church universally. My beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We get a couple commandments and a promise. A couple of commandments, right? Be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, Paul says here, have confidence. Have confidence in what's about to take place. Have confidence in the life that you are called to live. a life consistent with the gospel, knowing that you have put off the old clothes, the clothes tattered by sin and death, and now you have these new clothes, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that have covered your imperishable body, knowing that one day you will receive an imperishable body. In other words, Paul says, be steadfast in what you're doing. And what are those things? We should preach the gospel. And we should be steadfast, immovable in that. We're told that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, and we should be steadfast and immovable in that. That we should pray for our enemies. That we should be steadfast, immovable in that. And we abound in the work of the Lord. Everything that He's doing on this earth, He does by partnering with us, the church. Evangelism, praise, He does with us. And we are to be immovable, steadfast in those things, because we have confidence that death has been overthrown because of what Jesus did on the cross. And then here's the promise. He says, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That's a promise in Scripture. There's no if or maybe there. Right? Paul doesn't say, look, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And really, I'm just kind of hoping here, guys, that if you do that things, all your work here is not done in vain. No, but what we see in Scripture is that God brings the growth. Remember Paul in writing to the church there in Galatia, they were fighting, and there were all these factions developing, and in the church, the body was dividing, and you had one thing going, well, we're with Paul, we're Paul's guys. And another side was going, no, 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 we didn't like Paul that much, we liked Peter more, Peter was more our style. And then one guy was like, oh, no, I like Apollos. And Paul says, no, 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 you're getting this all wrong, we're one body. And he says, you know, maybe I planted and Apollos watered, but it's God who brings the growth. It's God who brings the growth. And so while Paul and Apollos labored, while they planted the word, while they went out and proclaimed the gospel to hostile nations, they knew that their work was not in vain because God would bring glory to His name. That's the same promise we have, that when we abound in the work of the Lord, that it is not in vain, that God will bring growth, that He will receive the glory. Here in this kind of the closing part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, there's a truth here that God has for us in His Word. So if you remember anything today, remember this. Jesus' victory over death gives us confidence in the faith. Jesus' victory over death, what we came together and celebrated last week, what we come together every week and celebrate, what we talk about week after week, maybe to the point that some of you are like, guys, we get it. Jesus walked out of the tomb. His death, His victory gives us confidence in the faith. And so for the next 8 Sundays, we're going to unpack one life tool from the Scriptures, one work of the Lord that we are called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at things like praise. We're going to be looking at things like listening prayer. We're going to be giving you a tool that's called lament. We're going to be talking about a tool that has been given to us in order to live faithful lives committed to the Lord. And we want you to have these things in your tool belt to be prepared to abound in the work of the Lord. And we believe that these are beneficial for you to have because of the promise there in verse 58. Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So when we talk about like living a life that is up in and out with God, that this means that we'll see the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our lives because we have confidence in the faith. Friends, that's the promise here of the Scriptures. And so for 8 weeks, we want to give you tools to be steadfast, to be immovable, to abound in the work of the Lord. And the promise in all of that is that He will build the house. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters of RLC, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor will not be in vain. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you on this Lord's Day, thankful for what you have done for us on that cross. Knowing that our salvation, that our inheritance in the kingdom is something that we would never get on our own, that there was no work that we could do to earn what you have freely given to us, but that it was secured by the cross, our cross, that Jesus went to, that he died upon, and then he was laid in our grave. And 3 days later, he walked out, defeating sin and death. And so now we can stand there and say, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory?" Lord, for 8 weeks, I would ask that you would just move amongst this congregation. Lord, that you would be with Matt and John and I as we give them these tools from Scripture. Lord, that they would not just put the tools in their garage, but that they would hang them on their belt and that they would use them day in and day out to build your kingdom. Lord, bless us this week. Be with those who aren't here. Be with those who came last week. Lord, may that seed that was planted be watered, if not here, somewhere else. But we know that you will bring that growth. We pray these things in your name. Amen.